A new book is providing some behind-the-scenes details about the congressional committee that's investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Denver Riggleman served as an advisor to the committee for 8 months. He talked to NPR's Tom Dreisbach about his time working on that investigation and the revelations in his book, The Breach.
Denver Riggleman is not exactly a typical congressional staffer. After serving in the Air Force and working as a contractor for the National Security Agency, he actually got elected to Congress himself in 2018. And Donald Trump endorsed him. As a freshman Republican, Riggleman even joined the House Freedom Caucus alongside congressmen who would later try to overturn the 2020 election. Riggleman now says that his support for Trump and the Freedom Caucus was less about principle than winning election. And that is something he regrets.
Oh, of course. You know, there's some things that you do that you think you have to win. And I did. I had a consultant who was correct. You know, he said, hey, Denver, you got to be a little bit crazy if you're going to beat the crazier people on the right. I would say being a politician, I wasn't as talented as I thought I was going to be at it. How about that?
In the summer of 2020, Riggleman lost the primary to a more hard right Republican. Heading into the election, he criticized Trump and his embrace of extremism.
I might have been one of the first Republicans that was a sitting member to see that President Trump was retweeting some pretty crazy QAnon-based sort of troll farm conspiracies, even things that were calling for violence. So no, I did not vote for him.
Who did you vote for?
Actually, Denver Riggleman got a vote for president then. So.
Oh, you voted for yourself.
I did.
When the January 6th committee started, Riggleman joined the staff as a senior technical advisor. In his book, Riggleman reveals a new detail. Someone at the White House actually placed a call during the riot to someone who breached the Capitol. There are still some mysteries about that call. It lasted just 9 seconds, and we don't know what was said or who at the White House made the call. The rioter that received the call is not high profile. He pleaded guilty to a nonviolent misdemeanor for spending about 10 minutes inside the building, and the call took place after he left. Still, Riggleman says that call is a crucial clue.
Well, 9 seconds is an eternity to a counterterrorism analyst. And the fact that the call came from inside the White House at a desk, was routed through the switchboard or defaulted to that number and went to a rider, it's something that's extremely important.
Since Riggleman's book came out, members of the committee have kind of downplayed the significance of that call. Here's Congressman Jamie Raskin on NBC's Meet the Press.
That's one of thousands of details that obviously the committee is aware of. And to me, it's interesting, but much less interesting than the fact that Donald Trump told the crowd in public, you got to fight like hell. And if you don't, you're not going to have a country anymore.
As part of his work, Riggleman examined the text messages from former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' phone, especially messages sent by Ginny Thomas. She's a longtime conservative activist and the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. In her messages to Meadows leading up to January 6th, Ginny Thomas brainstormed congressional and legal strategies to overturn the election.
You know, I called today, you know, the first time I saw Ginny Thomas text, I called it a bourbon text. You have to take a shot of bourbon to get through it.
Why is that?
It's just so crazy. You know, you need a drink.
In one of those texts, Ginny Thomas shared a QAnon-esque conspiracy theory that the, quote, Biden crime family was being arrested for ballot fraud and sent to Guantanamo Bay. Last week, Ginny Thomas testified to the committee and denied ever discussing politics with her husband. Those messages pose a challenge for the January 6th committee. Should they take the extraordinary step of investigating a sitting Supreme Court justice? Riggleman says yes.
I mean, it's possible that Clarence Thomas didn't know about Ginny Thomas's activities, not just, you know, around January 6th and the election, but through the years as a Republican activist. But I don't know if it's probable. It does call into question, you know, if there were any conflicts.
Do you think the committee would actually take a step to investigate Justice Thomas?
It's been 14 months, 15 months since it started. I don't think they're going to go there. I think this is a long process with thousands of witnesses. The committee is wrapping up, so I don't think they're going to get to that.
Do you think that's a mistake?
You know, the way it's going, with the evidence that they have that I might not have seen, I'm just not sure. With what I've seen, I think it would have been appropriate to talk to Justice Thomas. I think Ginny coming in is a heck of a great step by the committee. But I do believe, you know, at some point, the American public is going to have to come to their own conclusions about that.
As the committee starts wrapping up its work, I asked Riggleman about another big question they'll have to decide. There's been some debate about whether the committee should ultimately make a criminal referral to the Department of Justice, possibly for Trump himself or for other people. What do you think the committee should do?
I don't think they should.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah, I don't. And I think with the evidence that they have, if they're sharing evidence with the DOJ, let the DOJ make that decision. What I would do, instead of getting caught up the politics of referrals, just present the best case you can to the American public that regardless of criminal charges, we can't have the lunatics running the asylum. They've already proven that based on conspiracy theories, based on coordination, based on really a president that decided to really cavort with the craziest in the far right base, all that suggests that you have a president that was unfit for office, because even with criminal referrals, it's going to be up to the voters if they want to continue to support that kind of nonsense.
Riegelman's decision to publish the breach did not sit well with members of the January 6th committee. A committee spokesperson said he has limited knowledge of the entire investigation, and they've suggested that Riegelman may have violated an agreement to keep details of the investigation confidential. Riegelman denies that. He says the information the committee has uncovered ultimately belongs to the public. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News.